Good afternoon. Again, thank you for listening to Lakeshore Public Radio at 89.1 FM. I'm Tom Lounges. This is Midwest Beat. We've got two shows today. Second hour, we'll be featuring Mr. Mark Farner, lead singer, or former lead singer, guitarist, and songwriter of Grand Funk Railroad. Mark's keeping busy with his American band. He's also performing with the phenomenal Jim Peterick as part of World Stage this weekend. We'll get to that on the second half. This half, we're going to bring it a little closer to home in Northwest Indiana. One of my favorite venues out here, and one that is often featured on this program, Theater at the Center on Ridge Road in Munster, has a brand new season coming up. They've got some great musicals, a drama or two, and some special events. And I've got Linda Fortunato. She is the artistic director of the Theater at the Center, and she's here to talk about some of the performances, but we're going to tag in some of those special events as well. Welcome, Linda.
Hello. It's happy, glad to be here.
Now, it's been a while since you've been here because you are a very, very busy woman.
Yes, we are very busy at the theater.
Every time I try to get a hold of you, it's like she's tied up in this or she's tied up in that, or they're doing blocking or they're doing lighting. And so artistic director, what exactly does that mean? It kind of means you're at the top of the pinnacle there and you have to oversee all the different people that do their jobs.
That's pretty much it. Yes. So everything that you see on the stage, I oversee. So all of the main stage shows, I select the shows. I either direct them or choose the person to direct.
Okay.
In conjunction with Ann Davis, our head of production, we hire all of the designers, and then I cast all of the actors, and then once the show's in rehearsal, oversee all the moving parts. So
that seems like an awful lot of work.
It's a lot of stuff.
Wow. Typically, how much time goes into producing one show? Let's say your opening one we're going to get to here in a minute is a Million Dollar Quartet, which is kicking off the season in February. How long did it take you, or will it take you, to bring that from the idea of booking it to fruition when it performs opening
night?
Sure.
So we probably we decided we were going to do the show in early 2017.
Okay.
So that's when we decided to do the show. Then we had auditions last month. So if we're looking at the show opening in February, auditions are usually about 6 months in advance. And then probably about 5 months in advance, the director starts meeting with designers to talk about what the show is going to look like. And then we go through meetings with all of the designers. Rehearsals begin 2 weeks before we have an audience.
Wow.
So that process is very fast, but all of the actors and directors are working months in advance to prepare for those 2 weeks of rehearsal.
Now, you're in Equity Room, which means you are professional actors and there is paychecks involved, correct?
That's correct.
The only one in Northwest Indiana that I know of.
Yes, we're the only union theater, yeah.
Here's my dilemma as an actor. Let's say I'm an actor and you mentioned 6 months you're auditioning and you're casting.
Yes.
Now, that means for 6 months, as an actor, I really can't go out and do another performance anywhere, can I?
Well, part of the job of being an actor is finding the job.
Okay.
And so people who are full-time actors are constantly auditioning, but they have to, as you say, they have to be careful of their schedule. So if I know I have a job that goes from November to the middle of January, then you're right, I can't audition for anything else in that time slot, but then I set my sights on my next time slot.
Mm-hmm.
So middle of January, I'm free. So what's auditioning that is running at that time? So I just had an actor audition for me last week that has all of her jobs booked until the middle of April.
Wow.
So she was auditioning for me for something that's happening next summer, so almost a year from now. So yes, that's a huge part of the actor's job, is lining up all of the work.
What amazes me most about actors is that you all can remember all your lines and all your blocking and your staging for so many things, because obviously you're not just doing the one play or the one musical this year. You've got multiple ones, like this actress you were just talking about. What are the tricks? How do you memorize things like that?
Well, every actor does it differently. And it's funny because if you ask an actor, how do you memorize your lines? Many actors will look at you and say, well, what do you mean? That's just part of the job. But I understand what you're asking about. How do you keep things separately? If you're auditioning for one show, so you're learning the lines for that audition while you're in rehearsal for a show, while you're maybe running another show at night. Someone said a great analogy to me. If you go in your kitchen and you're going to make soup, you're not going to pull out the Hershey's chocolate syrup, because you know that doesn't go in soup, because your brain knows this is how I make soup, this is how I make brownies, this is how I make toast. So in your brain, you compartmentalize, well, this is the show, this show, this is a different show, this is a different character.
Mm-hmm.
So the words don't get mixed up because they're that's just how we're trained to.
It makes my head spin, especially when a lot of the different productions have accents or they're period pieces, and one may be futuristic, one may be 18th century. and to have all these storylines and characters and knowing not just your lines, but the lines of the people you're working with so that you know your cues.
Right.
I tried acting once and it just scared me. You know, it scared me. I give a lot of kudos to the people in the theaters for doing what they do. And you always hear that with TV and movie actors. They said, you know, how hard is that? It's like it's nothing like theater. Because in theater, you're there in the moment and there is no retakes.
Right.
Movies,
right.
You can reshoot all the time. I've done some video stuff, so I know I'm comfortable. Okay, let's do that again.
Right.
Didn't quite roll off the tongue
There's
right.
There's no do it again when you're on stage. Yeah, you've done it, just keep going.
That's scary. What's the hardest part of being the artistic director? I mean, you're kind of, you're the big dog at the top. You're the boss. It's got to be a little intimidating for all these different people to say, oh, gosh, we're going to make Linda happy.
I don't think I'm that intimidating.
Okay.
Maybe I feel intimidated that I feel like I have to keep everybody happy. But I think that it's like you were just saying, like an actor, the all of the different areas of focus, the compartmentalizing, you know, right now I'm working on four different shows right now.
Okay.
So it's one show might be in production. So that one is on its own. It's humming. We're doing Ghost, the musical right now that is going very well, humming along. Yesterday we had an understudy go on, so I was there overseeing that process. Then our Christmas show, which is coming up, Miracle on 34th Street, I'm directing that show. So on that show, I'm getting ready to start rehearsal, whereas Million Dollar Quartet, we're finishing auditions. Dames at Sea, we're starting auditions. Another show, I'm looking for a director. So probably the hardest thing is that I'm working on 3 to 5 shows at a time,
wow,
but in different parts of each process.
I'm just trying to wrap my head around all this.
But like, I think it's the same as any job. You know, mm-hmm. If you're working in an office, you're not just working on, you know, depending on what kind of office you're working in. You're working in an advertising office. You're not just working on one thing.
Right,
you know,
that's
you
true.
Have 5 different projects. They just are things on your plate in different forms.
We're talking with Linda Fortunato. She's Artistic Director of Theater at the Center in Munster, the Performing Arts Center there. You can keep up with them at theateratthecenter.com, and it's theater, R-E, not E-R. And they're located 1040 Ridge Road in Munster. If you haven't been there, shame on you. It's a beautiful facility. It's been there, what, 20 years?
Yes.
Just about?
Yeah. I think the building, I should know this answer. I think the building just celebrated its 25th anniversary of years. I think actually we're coming up on our 30th, maybe.
Wow. Now, how long have you been there?
So I've been the artistic director since the beginning of the 2016 season. So this is my third season as artistic director. But I started my association with the theater much before that. I first was working at the theater as an actor in a couple of shows. And then I choreographed some shows and directed some shows. So I've been around the theater for about 15 years on and off.
Okay. We're going to get into the lineup of shows here in a second. There's one question, and it's probably a very stupid question, but it's one that's always kind of baffled me. When I was growing up, there were actors and there were actresses. Now I hear females always referring to themselves as actors. Is it like stewardesses and flight attendants? Is it just a no-no to say actress anymore?
I think it's a personal preference.
Okay.
I think some women I know prefer actor because they feel like actress, because we all are doing the same art and there's no difference. One response someone I know said, well, you don't say doctor and doctress, do you?
Ah.
So I thought, oh, well, that's
a good point.
That's clever. So so I think that I personally don't find the term actress offensive, but I refer to myself as an actor.
Okay.
So just because I think that the job is the same. So
I always wanted to ask someone that, and it's one of those questions I never got around to, and I thought, you're the perfect foil for that.
I bet you ask 10 women who perform that job, and you might get 10 different answers.
Right, right. Well, we're going to start off. 2019 is not that far away. We're in the final quarter of 18, and as you mentioned, you were planning this show since 17, so a lot of work goes into it. We're going to run down, first of all, the different shows coming up, and then we're going to take them each one by one and find out why you're doing them. We're opening up the season with Million Dollar Quartet in February. There's Dames at Sea on May 2nd. It opens. Over the Tavern, which I've never heard of, July 11th. The Pajama Game on September 12th. Irving Berlin's White Christmas to wrap up November 14th. Million Dollar Quartet. I saw that when it came to Chicago for the first time. I think it was the Cadillac Theater. Maybe.
I played several different places in Chicago.
This was when it first opened.
It was at the Goodman Theater.
Goodman.
Is where it started in Chicago.
And I'm an Elvis fan. I'm a Sun Records fan. And to see this, I thought, wow, how are they going to take this one evening and make it into a whole play? And it was brilliant. It really was. And it's one of those shows, kind of like Jersey Boys, you just don't get tired of seeing, especially if you're a music fan.
I agree.
Why did you choose Million Dollar Quartet, knowing that it's already played a lot in Chicago?
Yes, that is true. As you mentioned, it started, the first place it played in Chicago was at the Goodman Theater. That was back in 2008. Mm-hmm. And then it moved to the Apollo, and it played from 2008 to 2016. So, yes, you're right. It played for a long time. But also knowing that a lot of people that went to that show went multiple times.
Mm-hmm.
And as you say, it's a show that you can see over and over because the music is just so terrific. People who aren't familiar with the story, at Sun Records in 1956, there was one night that Elvis Presley, Johnny Cash, Jerry Lee Lewis, and Carl Perkins all were there at the same time, and they had a recording session. And so this play is based on that event. It's somewhat fictionalized to make it play-worthy, but it's about the night that those four artists got together.
And they weren't even supposed to be there at the same time. They just happened to show up. It was the holidays, and they fell into the room at the same time.
It
and Sam, brilliantly, as he always did, started the tape machine.
Exactly. So it was... It was scheduled as Carl Perkins' recording session, and Jerry Lee Lewis was brand new on Sun Records, so Sam Phillips brought him in to play on some of Carl Perkins' songs, and then he heard that Elvis was in town, so called Elvis and said he should come over, and then Johnny Cash stopped by to talk about his contract, and there they all were.
And Elvis had already left Sun and was signed to RCA. He had just left Sam, so it was kind of a bittersweet moment.
Yes.
And that comes through in the play as well.
It does. And at the very beginning of the play, you hear that RCA has called Sun Records again because now they want to bring Sam Phillips over to Sun Records. So he's wrestling with that decision during the course of the play.
Wow. Well, your husband plays Sam.
That's
Sam is
true.
An icon in music. Anyone that that knows rock and roll knows that Sam Phillips is the guy that basically, one of the pioneers, he's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame for that reason, helped define the sound by blending the different... genres, the hillbilly music, the African-American soul music, and the rockabilly, which was a hybrid in itself, along with country and western. So all of these things came together at Sun Records, where they did all sorts of different genres. They were also home of the blues for a long time. And it all came together, and it, as Muddy Waters said, the blues had a baby, and they called it rock and roll. And if there was a midwife, it was Sam Phillips. Your husband plays Sam in your production.
That's true. Sean Fortunato is my husband. He's an actor, and he's going to be. He was most recently on our stage in Cabaret.
Mm-hmm. Brilliant, brilliant performance.
And he played the MC in Cabaret, and we're very happy to be able to have him back as Sam Phillips.
Well, we've got the Broadway recording, I believe, and we don't have anything, obviously, since this is next year's season. So we're going to play some of the music from some of the other cast recordings. This actually has the actor who played Sam Phillips kind of introducing the story. So let's play that. We'll be back with Linda after this. Well, you can do anything. Lay off of my blue suede shoes. Yeah, baby. Blue Suede Shoes from Million Dollar Quartet. That is the show that's going to open up the Theater at the Center 2019 season, February 14th. It opens. Casting going on now.
Yep.
Linda Fortunato, the artistic director of Theater at the Center, is my guest. She's the lady in charge of picking all these. We already covered on why you chose this. Why or how hard was it to cast? I mean, obviously, any production, there's other productions that have come before. But when you're dealing with Elvis and Jerry Lee and Carl Perkins and Johnny Cash, they're iconic figures in their own right. So you're not only casting to replace the other actors that have played these roles, but you have to make them believable. How hard is it to cast a historical figure like this?
It's hard, but it's also really fun. So not only do you, as you say, they have to play this real person, and these real people are very well known. So it's not like it's a real person that lived 300 years ago and we don't really know what they look like or what they sounded like. These people, we really know those things.
Right.
So it's tricky. And also, you know, you want them to somewhat resemble them. They obviously we want them to sound like them, but you don't want just an impression because you still want them to be live, real people in the course of the play.
And bring something fresh to it.
Exactly. And these guys all play instruments really well. So that's another layer in casting as
well. So your actors are also musicians. They are actually playing their own stuff.
They're actually playing their own stuff. Like there was someone recommended to us that somebody said, oh, this person would be an amazing Elvis. And we called the guy and he said, thanks, I do Elvis, but I don't play the guitar. Right. So in this production, they have to all play as well.
All right. I'm looking forward to that. Again, that is a show you can see a million times over because it is the Million Dollar Quartet. February 14th, write that down if you're a rock and roll fan. And we're going to move on now with the second production, Dames at Sea. And again, this is not one, most of the stuff you've chosen, I'm not that familiar with. So I'm excited because it's a new story. It's not something that's tired. No, we've got Million Dollar Quartet that we all know and have seen, but yet we want to go back and see it. But some of these other ones, having never seen them, now I'm excited about them. Dames at Sea. Tell us about it. What is Dames at Sea?
So Dames at Sea, even if you're not familiar with the story, the style of it is familiar.
Is this a 40s era?
30s.
30s, uh-huh. Okay.
It's a parody, but it's called a loving parody. So it's not poking fun at. It's paying tribute to the movie musicals of the 1930s.
You've defined it in your little write-up here as a playful romp. I like that.
See, you want to go see that. So it's song and dance musical. The premise is a young girl, as in many of those Hollywood musicals, young girl from the Midwest has just stepped off the bus with all she has in her suitcase is a pair of tap shoes, and she's come to Broadway to be a star. She quickly lands a part in the chorus of a musical that's rehearsing. The musical, they lose the theater. The theater's being torn down, but it just so happens that there's a sailor who's a songwriter who is nearby and says, oh, let's do the play on the battleship. So they move the play to the battleship. While rehearsing, the star gets seasick, and guess who steps in the lead?
Ah.
The young girl who's fresh off the bus. So it's an homage to those early 30s movie musicals.
The Ginger Rogers type?
Exactly. The lead, her name is Ruby, in homage to Ruby Keeler, who was in so many of those great movie musicals. And it opened in 1968. Okay. It played off-Broadway. It had a very long run. And then actually in 2015, there was a Broadway revival that was done a little more recently. So some audiences may be familiar. The thing the 1968 production is probably best known for, it was Bernadette Peters' first job off Broadway. So that was the show that brought her into prominence.
Now, you are also not only the director on that one, you are the choreographer on that one.
That's true.
So are you a dancer as well?
Yes. And this is a big tap dance show, and that's my first love of dance.
Okay.
Yes. And the other thing that's really fun about this show is it is a parody of those big, splashy Busby Berkeley musicals, but there's only six actors in the show.
Wow.
So the whole thing is done with these six characters, which makes it intimate and really some clever solutions of how they do these Broadway numbers. But it's, even though there's only six of them, they are going to be dancing.
Wow. So, I mean, that sounds like it's a lot of work to, again, you create the choreography as well.
Yes.
So it's not like something you've already seen at a different production. Every director, every choreographer can bring their own touch or their own style, just like an actor brings to the role.
That's right. Yes. And just like an actor, there are some things that are dictated. Obviously, the music is already there. And there are sometimes, less often, but there are sometimes things specified in the script of things that need to be incorporated in the choreography or storytelling that needs to happen through the dance. But other than that, you pretty much have free rein to fill it in however you choose.
One of the things I like about Theater at the Center in Munster is the fact that all the seats are good sight lines, and you have a large stage. And I've never been to a production there where the set wasn't exquisite.
Mm-hmm.
It always fits whatever you're doing. How do you create a battleship on stage?
Well, we haven't started meeting about that one yet.
Okay.
So
that seems like a challenge.
So it'll be the suggestion of a battleship.
Okay.
We won't be pulling an entire battleship into the theater. I can guarantee you that one.
Well, when you did the Huck Finn and you created
Big
the river. Yeah, the Roger Miller piece. I was wondering, how are you going to create a river? Because a lot of it takes place on the river. And you did. I mean, you made it believable. We could, in our mind's eye, kind of believe that was a river.
Right. Well, and that's part of the fun of it, too. I mean, if we, obviously we don't have the space or the budget to actually build a battleship.
Mm-hmm.
But I think part of the fun is, as you say, with Big River, it's the suggestion. It's the, we as the as the artists, we use our imaginations, and to be able to invite the audience to use their imagination to complete the picture is what is really exciting. That's why we do theater and not, as we were talking earlier about TV and film. The audience is an active participant in what we do.
Right. And that's the instant gratification or the opposite when the crickets play, you know. So let's play a song. This is the title track of Dames at Sea, and I believe this is the off-Broadway production. I'm not sure. You might recognize it. Again, this is all very new to me. This is an interesting song. I enjoyed this one.
I'm crazy about it too. We're in the pay of the USA, doing dues we're proud to do.
Oh, Captain, Captain.
What is it, sailor?
We have a complaint, sir.
Yeah. Oh.
We're crazy about the Navy.
I'm crazy about it too.
From stern to bow, our ships are wow.
I fully agree with you.
But sir, the nights are so lonely as a battleship sails through the deep. In our hammocks we lie thinking, if only there were girls to sing us to sleep.
What?
We got a flock of cuties in every port, an overflow of beauties. We're never short of women young and old. We know every sort, but dames at sea.
That time that Scotch last winked, I stumbled and fell.
A sweetie in Paris, a swell of a bell. But when the ocean's raging, we miss like hell those dames at sea. In the Atlantic, we get so frantic. Girls we left on the shore.
In the Adriatic, when things get static, we'd love to have a lady with a name like Sal or Sadie.
Billy's a nice guy, Vic. He's really a pal.
Luck is my best friend, but he ain't no gal.
We need some frilly skirts to boost our morale. Some dames at sea. With great elation, we serve our nation. This Navy life would be grand. With some beautiful, luscious, lovely dames at sea.
Sailor boy, a seaman who is thoughtful and sweet.
Give me a bosun's mate, a garb to sweep me right off my feet.
You take the boys, my dear, I'll take the man in charge of the fleet.
We're dames at sea.
I'll mend his hammock, brace his jumper, bake a pie for his mess.
I'll help him load his ammunition when his ship's in distress.
I'll help him semaphore until he signals S.O.S.
We're dames at sea. We sail the ocean and strive for our Uncle Sam. But we're far from wealthy, we're strong and healthy. The only thing we're missing is some petty and some pissy. Go, 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 forest increase.
Crazy, but when we hit knees,
we'd fight another war
for freedom and peace.
And dames at sea, with firm decision and steady vision, we carry on. Just some beautiful, luscious, lovely dames at sea.
Dames at sea.
Just some beautiful, luscious, lovely dames.
Just some beautiful, luscious, lovely dames.
Just some beautiful, luscious, lovely dames at sea.
Dames at Sea. That is the second musical in the 2019 series at Theater at the Center. Linda Fortunato, the artistic director behind choosing all of these and directing and choreographing and doing all the things that need to be done to make these come live on the stage, is with us here in the studio. Dames at Sea, you said, goes back to the 30s, so that had to be inspired a little bit pre-war when all the craziness was going on before the war officially
started, right, for the U.S.
That
boom of the movie musicals.
Wow. That was a fun song. I really enjoyed that because all the different voices coming out and they're telling their story. We mentioned in Million Dollar Quartet that they play their own instruments. In the musicals at Theater at the Center, at least in the past, those shows I've seen, you actually have live musicians.
We always have live musicians,
and they're
yes.
on stage, really. They're not in the pit, per se.
Well, it depends on the show.
Okay.
We do have what we call the band loft, which is a large platform that is backstage where we have the live orchestra set up.
And you can still see them.
If they're there, you cannot see them.
Okay.
So like our current show, they are not visible. But Big River that you mentioned, mm-hmm. they were front and center
right.
for that show. So I love to see the musicians. So when we can incorporate it into the design and when it makes sense with the show, I do love to have them visible on stage. But sometimes because of the requirements, the physical requirements of the show or the set or what the storytelling is, it's not as appropriate to have them mm-hmm. on stage. So then sometimes they are off stage, but they are always live playing there every day with us.
Why do you choose to have a live group as opposed to singing to tracks, which so many directors choose to do because it's simple?
Right. It's simple and it's cheaper, but there's something, well, like we were talking about earlier about the relationship of the actors to the audience,
mm-hmm.
the relationship of the musicians to the actors. Not only do we have excellent professional musicians, and so having live professional musicians just sets the entire, it just raises the bar for the whole production. And there's a give and take, a theater production breathes. So from what you do opening night to what you do closing night is all within the same, everything is planned the same way. Nobody strays off of what they're supposed to say or what notes they're supposed to play, but it breathes. The tempos mm-hmm. change. There might be a longer pause. If you're playing to something that's pre-recorded, there's no chance to do that. So our resident music director and conductor, William Underwood, who is terrific, he is playing the same show every night, but he takes his cues from the actors.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's an emotional moment that takes a little longer or goes a little more quickly, that flow happens with the musicians. It's all a collaboration.
Okay. Now, you have 5 shows this season. Is that typical?
Yes, we do 5.
They run about 2 months each?
Yes. There's 5 or 6 weeks, depending on the show, each
okay.
of them run.
Dames at Sea, why did you choose that? Again, it's a little bit more obscure.
I think that even though, yes, the title is obscure, but as I said earlier, the style of it is very familiar.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the style of it, the period, will be very appealing to our audience. I also know that our audience responds really well to tap dancing musicals, and we haven't really done a tap show in quite a while, so I was longing to do one. And this one also is very funny, it's just a different spin on the typical musical, which is what attracts me to it.
30s musicals, when I think of them, I think of Shirley Temple stuff.
Sure.
I loved growing up watching Shirley Temple, and she was a tapper.
Yes.
Have you ever remade any of those plays? Are they out there, those musicals?
They aren't.
They seem lost.
I honestly don't know why. I don't know if it's something about the licensing of them, that those movies have never been turned into musicals. There was a made-for-TV movie about Shirley Temple that was made, probably about 10, 15 years ago. And they did a nationwide search for Shirley Temple. And just funny story, I was hired to run the tap auditions for all the little girls that came and tapped in hoping to be Shirley Temple. So that was kind of a fun thing to do.
But they were brilliant pieces. And I never see them. They don't even play them often on TV anymore. It just seems like she did such a
right.
great body of work. And they're lost to the new generation. So as a tap fan, I thought you might know or had done something with that.
I'm a huge fan, but I don't know the answer.
Okay. Well, we've got Over the Tavern, which is not a musical. It's a drama.
That's right. It's a play.
Mm-hmm. So do you the rest of them are musicals. Is there a reason you lean so heavily on the musicals versus the dramas? Now, my daughter's into musicals, so I kind of came kicking and screaming into the musical realm. But I'm a drama guy. I like the dark stuff. I like, you know, the courtroom scenes and
sure.
the darker stuff. 12 Angry Men, things like that. Mm-hmm. That's my style. But I'm starting to like the musicals more. Why is it that you're doing more musicals than dramas? And I notice this not just with your theater, but others. Musicals seem to be on an upswing.
Honestly, it's years of feedback from our audience. Not only direct feedback through surveys and through talking to people in the lobby, but also just the reflecting in ticket sales. Mm-hmm. That the musicals are, as you say, there's a surge. The musicals are our most popular offerings. And our plays are always well-loved, but people, you know, oh, I love the plays, but when are you going to do another musical?
Right.
So I personally came, I started in my theater journey more on the play side, although I've done both, you know, my whole career. But I'm also a huge fan of non-musical plays as well.
What's Over the Tavern about?
Over the Tavern is a comedy. It takes place in the 1950s. There's a family named the Pazinski family who live above a bar that they run, hence the title, okay. Over the Tavern. They have four children. The main character is 12-year-old Rudy, who is studying for his catechism. He's in Catholic school, and he's studying for his catechism, and he is questioning the things, the teachings that he's supposed to be learning and memorizing, much to the dismay of his teacher, Sister Clarissa, who is a very funny, very strict, ruler-wielding nun who mm-hmm. is the teacher at his elementary school. And so it revolves around him and his relationship with the nun as he's sort of questioning and figuring out where he fits into this world of religion. And then his family at home, the struggles that any family growing up with four children in a small cramped apartment. It takes place in New York, and it's very funny. Although they are one quote about the play that I loved is the thing that makes it so funny is it's real people with real problems. So it's mm-hmm. It's not a silly comedy. It's true life struggles that are relatable, but but we see very funny spin on all of it.
Is this a newer piece? I mean, if it takes place in the 50s and it's actually based semi-autobiographical mm-hmm. with the author, I'm thinking maybe the 70s or 80s?
It actually premiered in the early 1990s is when this play...
So it's not an old school one.
Right.
It's newer.
Right. Actually, Theater at the Center produced this play in 2005. Of the five shows of the season, this is the only one we've done before. It was in 2005, and multiple people have mentioned just over the past 2 or 3 years that they would like to see this show again.
Mm-hmm.
So it was definitely an audience favorite when we did it. It will be 14 years by the time we've done it again. So hopefully long enough in between. People might not remember it exactly, but remember it enough to know that they're
excited. They liked it.
Yeah. When we announced it, we had multiple people comment, oh, I can't wait to see that show again.
Now, you, as we mentioned, are the artistic director. You kind of oversee everything. You also mentioned that you are directing some of these. Now, you are directing and choreographing Dames at Sea, which you just talked about. Are there any others that you are directing directly?
I am also going to be directing the fourth and fifth show, The Pajama Game and White Christmas.
Okay. Are you starring in any of these?
Are you acting? I am not in any of these shows, no.
Is it hard to act and direct and be direct yourself, so to speak?
I have never done that.
Okay.
I think that, yes, it would be, because when you're the director, you need to have your eye on everything. And when you're in the show, obviously you need to know what everyone around you is doing, and you need to be aware of your surroundings, but your focus is on your performance. And so to be able to do – and there are a lot of people that do both.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it would be hard.
Okay. How did you get into theater?
My very first play, I was in first grade, and just in music class, we all just did a little play for the parents, and I guess I just always did, you know, always in school, I was always in the school play, I was always in the choir, I always was doing theater and loved it. It was a passion of mine, but it wasn't until the very end of high school that I realized, oh, wait a minute, this could be my job.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I had already chosen a college. I already had a different major all picked out. And I was getting ready to graduate high school when it occurred to me, I could keep doing this. And
wow.
This is what I love more than anything. And so I went to school and studied theater. And
are you from here?
I lived in Illinois all my life.
Okay.
We lived in the northern suburbs of Chicago when I was very young, and then central Illinois. And then as soon as I graduated college, I moved to Chicago and have been there ever since.
What was that first play?
It was a play adaptation of the song Little Bunny Foo Foo.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, the good fairy comes, and
yeah.
I was the good fairy. And
wow. My first time was I was playing, it was a Paul Bunyan adaptation in fifth grade, and I played Blue the Ox.
Excellent.
I had no speaking role, obviously. So I kind of just ambled along with a cardboard ox attached to me. And that was my big role. So and that was tough. That was tough. So, okay, we are now moving on to the next musical. So we've already covered, we've got Million Dollar Quartet, which opens the season at Theater Center February 14th through March 24th. Dames at Sea, which is a throwback to the old 30s musicals, and that is May 2nd to June 2nd. And then Over the Tavern, the drama comedy, from the 11th of July to August 11th. And Pajama Game, another one that I'd heard the title, but I wasn't all that familiar with it until I heard the song, Hey There, and realized that that was from it. Let's play that right now, and then we're going to come back and talk about why Pajama Game is coming to Theater at the Center.
Hey there, you with the stars in your eyes. Love never made a fool of you. You used to be too wise. Hey there, you on that high flying cloud. Though she won't throw a crumb to you, you think someday she'll come to you. Better forget her, her with her nose in the air. She has you dancing on a string. Break it and she won't care. Are you just too far gone to hear? Is it all going in one ear and out the other? Hey there, you with the stars in your eyes.
You talking to me?
Love never made a fool of you.
Not until now.
You used to be too wise.
Yeah, I was. Once.
Hey there.
I hear ya.
You on the high flying cloud. Though she won't throw a crumb to you.
Don't rub it in.
You think someday she'll come to you.
Forget her.
Her with her nose in the air.
Her with her nose in the air.
She has you dancing on
a puppet on a string.
Break it and she won't care.
She won't care for me.
The stars in your eyes. If you're still in your pajamas, that's okay, because that's from the Pajama Game, and that is another musical that's coming to Theater at the Center at 1040 Ridge Road. It's a beautiful venue. How many seats?
410.
410 seats, and every seat's in a good place. Sight lines are wonderful. Sound is wonderful in there. The acoustics are great. Pajama Game plays from September 12th to October 13th, so we're looking about a year from now for that. another one of those plays or musicals where you know the songs, you're familiar with the title, but it's not one that's overplayed. It's not Grease or Sound of Music ad nauseum. Why did you choose Pajama Game?
I was trying to find something in the classic musical theater world that maybe wasn't so overdone that we'd all seen 20 different productions. And the thing, as you mentioned about Hey There, the music is just so wonderful. And even if people don't recognize the title at first or recognize it but aren't sure why, the songs Hey There, Steam Heat, Hernando's Hideaway, there's just song after
Steam
song.
Steam Heat's a good one.
There's song, you know, that you might not realize is from this show, but they're great songs that are very familiar.
I think the Pointer Sisters did a version of Steamed Heat.
Really?
Yeah, early on in their career when they were doing kind of that retro Bette Midler kind of thing.
Right.
I think they did Steam Heat. I remember, or maybe it was on one of those variety shows back then, but that's where I first heard that song, and I want to say it was the Pointers that did it. Pajama Game is kind of an interesting thing because it's kind of like the Norma Rae of musicals because it's about a factory and they're making demands.
It is, yes.
In a fun way.
It's a pajama factory, and the workers are demanding a raise of 7.5 cents.
Wow.
It's actually based on a story called 7.5 cents that was turned into a musical. And so Babe Williams is our main character, our heroine, and she is the head of the union, of the union's grievance committee. And there is a new superintendent at the factory. And when she meets the new superintendent, of course, sparks fly and the two of them fall in love. But the conflict is that he is the superintendent of the factory and she is active in the union. And
there's a problem.
So the question is, will they work out the strike and will they work out the romance?
Why did you pick that one? It sounds topical because there is a lot of union stuff all the time going on.
That's true.
We've got the McDonald's workers. Now we've got the hotel workers. You know, there's always a union issue somewhere. It is a real world situation, but it's done in a tongue-in-cheek kind of way here. Does the real world fix into how you choose some of your plays?
It at times it does. Sometimes not so much in the choosing of them, but then once in the production. Obviously, not that we're going to change anything about the play, but I do think some of the themes and topics resonate differently depending on when you are doing the play. I also love that although it is a classic musical from the 50s, it has a really strong central female character that isn't always the case in those shows. And it is the book is by George Abbott, and the music is by Richard Adler and Jerry Ross, who's also the team behind Damn Yankees. So that's another, you know, great musical of that era. And they both just have such a fun, classic tone of that golden age of musical theater.
Do you think that the advent of new musicals like Hamilton, for instance, are enticing a new generation to rediscover some of the classic musicals?
I think they are. I think that it's drawing a lot of new audience to musical theater in general. And once they get into musical theater, then I think they start to explore and look around and see what came before. And what, I mean, you know, Lin-Manuel Miranda, who wrote Hamilton, is a huge fan of classic musical theater. And so a lot of the things he's doing in his very, very contemporary writing is drawn from those great masters that came before him.
Are there any other geniuses of this generation besides him?
I think there are. I think there's a lot of people that are writing right now. And a thing that a lot of writers are doing is writing song cycles or just writing standalone songs that are of the musical theater genre that tell stories like a musical, but they're just individual songs. And I think that it's really smart because it's a lot of people who are coming up in the business and rather, you know, and now everything costs more money now, but producing a show is hard to do because it costs so much money and you need so many backers. And so a lot of these young writers are being able to show what they can do in this other, it's the same art form, but instead of a full musical, they have several songs that they can present and then get to the next step a little bit more easily.
Seems every generation has someone.
I think you're right.
You know, we saw Sondheim, and then we had Andrew Lloyd Webber, and you know, we've had Alan Menken and stuff. Although they do a little more in the film end, but their stuff still comes to the stage plays. It seems like for a while we had a gap, and I think you know, he has done that with Hamilton.
Yes, yeah.
That now we're going to see a resurgence of new writers, perhaps, that are inspired by this young guy.
I think you're right.
With an old soul. All right, we get to our final one. And again, this is one of those that everybody knows. I think every single person in the world at some point has watched Bing Crosby and Danny Kaye and Rosemary Clooney in White Christmas. And who doesn't know White Christmas? It's still the best-selling song, I think, of all time. Second maybe only to Yesterday, but I think it's even still beating Yesterday from the Beatles. And it's a holiday standard. Now, that's another one that everyone has seen over and over and over and over. We know the story by heart. We know the songs. We know when they're going to come in, just like It's a Wonderful Life.
Mm-hmm.
How do you bring something fresh to this? And do you think it's just the spirit of the season that makes people want to buy, like the Nutcracker? I mean, there's certain shows that you just sell out all the time.
Right. And there's certain shows that you want to see over and over and over. I mean, you know, there are certain, you mentioned Wonderful Life. You know, there are people that watch that movie every single year, that mm-hmm. watch the movie of White Christmas every year. This musical version, although definitely based on the movie and still very true to the movie, was written in the year 2000. So it's new-ish, even though the source material is classic. And as you say, we all know it. We all know the story. We all know the music, but there are some differences of the musical. People who are huge fans of the film will not be disappointed by the differences. You know, it's not, oh, they've ruined the movie, but
right.
some of the songs are different. Some of the placement of the songs is a little bit different. So it keeps it fresh in that it's not just a word for word recreation of the film on stage.
That was the case with It's a Wonderful Life, the musical.
Yes.
Which you presented, I think it was last year?
It was last year. Mm-hmm.
I had no idea there was a musical version of it.
Right.
You know, and then you came on the show and it's like, it's a musical. It's like, yeah, it was written like so many years ago. It was a fresh treatment of an old favorite. And they've also done that with A Christmas Story, haven't they? Done
That's
a musical
right.
version?
There's now a musical version of that, yes.
Have you done that one yet?
We haven't yet, no.
Maybe next year. You
Maybe.
Never know. Let's do a song from White Christmas. This is a favorite of mine. It's Count Your Blessings Instead of Sheep.
When I'm worried and I can't sleep, I count my blessings instead of sheep, and I fall asleep, counting my blessings. When my bankroll is getting small, I think of when I had none at all, and I fall asleep, counting my blessings. I think about a nursery and I picture curly heads, and one by one I count them as they slumber in their beds. If you're worried and you can't sleep, just count your blessings instead of sheep, and you'll fall asleep counting your blessings. About a nursery and I picture curly heads, and one by one I count them as they slumber in their beds. If you're worried and you can't sleep, just just count your blessings instead of sheep, and you'll fall asleep counting your blessings.
Der Bingle. One of the greatest voices of any generation of all time. Smooth as silk, that guy, Bing Crosby. And that's going back to perhaps one of his best pieces of work, White Christmas. This is a new version coming to Theater at the Center, the musical, on November 14th through December 22nd. And again, not this year, next year, 2019 is what we're talking about. Linda Fortunato, who is the artistic director of Theater at the Center, is here with us today, and we have just gone over the 2019 season, and there are five shows, four musicals, one comedy slash drama, and how does this work? What if you want to go to all of them? How does that work?
So if you want to see all five shows, you can become a subscriber, and actually our tickets for new subscribers go on sale coming up this Tuesday, October 9th, and you can buy a package for all five shows.
Or get them individually, yes.
Okay. And sometimes people hesitate to subscribe because they say, I don't know what I'm going to be doing a year from now. But as a subscriber, you can change your dates, which is a privilege that only subscribers get. So you can lock in great seats for all five shows. And then if you have a conflict, you can change your seats.
So if I buy, just say, for one show, the Pajama Game, and I buy my tickets for September 14th, and something comes up, I can't say, hey, can I switch the tickets?
That's correct.
But if I'm a subscriber, I can do it to all of them.
That's right. Also,
it's almost like a flexi ticket kind
exactly,
of thing.
Exactly. Exactly. And also, as a subscriber, you get advance notice and discounts on some of our other special events and things that happen in the theater.
Okay. Wonderful. Get information at theateratthecenter.org. And theateratthecenter.com is where you go.
That's right.
And you can also call, and the number there is, I had it in front of me, there we are, 219-836-3255. Again, theateratthecenter.com, and that's theater, R-E, not E-R, and 219-836-3255. 1040 Ridge Road is where you'll find it. 410 seats, great sight lines everywhere. And I just want to remind you that in addition to the 2019 season, there are a plethora of amazing independent shows that are coming in there. My good friend Ralph Covert, Ralph's World, it's a rock and roll kids show. That's going to be there January 5th, 2019. These are just a few highlights that I'm going to run through. Michael Ingersoll, the amazing former member of
Under the Street Lamp.
Thank you. And a former Jersey Boy will be there along with Christopher Khalid Jones. Both of them have been on this show, and they're going to be doing Lean on Me. The Righteous Brothers.
They're doing
an early
rock and roll.
Early rock and roll.
Yeah.
Okay. And that is April 6th. We've got Switchback, other friends of this show. They're there not once but twice, back for their Irish show for St. Pat's Week on March 10th. And then they're doing their Americana Roots show on June 9th. We've got Aretha Franklin, who just shuffled off this mortal coil, being remembered on June 15th of 2019, and it goes on and on and on. Echoes of Pompeii, there's an Elvis show, there's our good friend Cheryl and High Performance will be there December 31st, and even a Karen Carpenter tribute. And you can get all the details on this. Again, the website is theateratthecenter.com, not just the musical performances we've talked about today, but all of these other events. And let's wrap up the show with a song from the first show of 2019. And again, this is a classic rock and roll story. It's Million Dollar Quartet, and it opens on February 14th and runs through March 24th. We're going to give you a little taste of Jerry Lee Lewis from the Million Dollar Quartet. Linda, thank you for being with us.
Thanks so much for having me.
And for bringing so many wonderful shows to our region.
Come see us.
All right. Theateratthecenter.com. This is Jerry Lee, and a whole lot of shaking going on, baby.
Now see, all you gotta do, darling, stand right there in one spot. Just wiggle it around just a little bit. See, that's how you know you got something. And if you ain't got something, darling, you might as well hang it up, cause you ain't gonna get nothing. Now let's give him something to go home to. Throw the lid off this one. And I say, baby, say, say, I say, say, baby, say, I say, Bob, say, we play, say, a whole lot of singing going on, take a car.
Come on over, baby. We got chicken in the boiler. Yes, we do. And they got some red hot shows coming to the Memorial Opera House. That one in particular, a favorite of mine, starting off the season. That is Million Dollar Quartets. Theater at the center is located at 1040 Ridge Road in Munster. Get all the details on the season. If you get tickets for the entire season, as Linda was mentioning, you can swap out your tickets for different dates if something comes up. And let's face it, life happens and things, the best laid plans sometimes go awry. So you can switch your dates, and that's always a bonus to being a season ticket holder. So that is Million Dollar Quartet. February 14th, that opens. It's the first of five productions that they'll be doing in 2019. The other is Dames at Sea. May 2nd, it opens. Over the Tavern, a comedy drama on July 11th. The Pajama Game on September 12th, another musical. Irving Berlin's White Christmas wraps up the holiday season next year, 2019, with the musical version. And there's just all sorts of stuff still happening this year, so make sure that you get it online at theaterthecenter.com. And again, theater, R-E, not E-R. In fact, coming up later this month, October 26th, there's a special concert coming up, the Trouble Notes. These guys have played all over Europe. In fact, there's a Northwest Indiana connection to them. They've done over 400 shows in 15 countries. It's Americana, and we're going to have the guys, I hope, if we can work it all out, being live on the show here to talk about their music and play some tunes. So without any further ado, I do want to remind you once again, theateratthecenter.com is where you need to go for all the things we talked about. And I do recommend checking it out if you haven't been there. I go to a lot of the shows there, and especially in the wake of the Star Plaza being gone, they are really stepping up their bookings and doing some amazing shows.